discussing many topics in the Shmuel. The first one was Amneya Prahatvam, about how Vedic literature is the absolute source. And then we discussed about Krishna being Tvaratattva, Hari, who is Radha and Krishna. And then we discussed how the Lord is Shakti, Sarva Shakti. Sarva Shakti Man means full of potencies. And then he is Rasabdhi. So three features of the Lord. Paratattva, Shakti, is a Shaktiman, and Rasabdhim. These three are discussed. And also we discussed about the Jiva Tattva, how Jiva, Vibhinnamsa Jivan. And then yesterday we were continuing discussion about Maya Kavalati Jiva. Means that Jiva which is engulfed by Maya, what is his position? Or why is he engulfed by Maya, what is the reason, etc. While discussing, we were in the point that how the living entities which are manifested by the Jiva Shakti of Krishna, they are at the tata. Tata means exactly at the borderline, a thin borderline between the land and the water. Exactly between the spiritual and material worlds where they meet. So there are some Jivas who locate Krishna and then they enter the past sense of Krishna, and there are some who get devoured by Maya. They are completely attracted towards Maya. So now, this kind of thing, why it happens? So, the question starts, yesterday we discussed this point, but we'll again do it, where we were having a discussion about how, why Krishna does this thing, why it is no other work for him or what, why he sends this living entity to suffer in this world. Now, you can go to the third page, where in the 16th chapter that thing, Vrajanad asks this question. I think it is third page, second or third page. Lord Krishna is supreme merciful. Second page. Okay? Second page. Lord Krishna is supreme merciful. Why then did he make the individual souls so weak, so that they can fall into Maya? As the Lord is merciful, so Krishna is playful. Desiring different kinds of pastimes with the individual spirit souls, in many different conditions of life, he created many exalted conditions which culminate in Mahabhava, a great ecstatic spiritual love for the Lord. And he also created, with the help of Sri Radha's expansion, Maya, the degraded material condition of life, which reaches there neither in Ahankara. In this way, by the influence of Sri Radha, their attainment of limitless transcendental bliss on one side, by the influence of Maya, there is descent into lower depths. The soul thus enters Maya's abyss are not interested in their own spiritual well-being. They are averse to Lord Krishna and interested in own selfish pleasure. Thus, they go down lower and lower. However, supremely merciful Lord Krishna sends his own personal associates from the spiritual world into the material world to make these souls favorable to him and lift them out of the abyss. In this way, some of the fallen souls gradually become elevated and eventually return to the spiritual world, where they become eternal associates of the Lord. So you have this pastime of Krishna, that how he comes and or send some representative and reclaims the fallen conditioned souls. That is the mercy of Krishna. Immediately the question, one says, why must the individual so suffer so the Lord can enjoy the pastimes like this? If you think this is the pastime of Krishna, that is an enjoyment of Krishna or what, to make us suffer like this? Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur answers, what should be said of this? Said is this, it is by great mercy of the Lord that the individual souls have the free will. So this concept of free will, Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about. Why not speak in this way? That the individual souls, they have free will. Inanimate matter is very lowly and unimportant because it has no free will. It is because they have free will that the individual souls can become masters of this world, the world of matter. Pain and pleasure are two dimensions of the mind can attain. When you and I call pain, other person who is attached to it call it pleasure. The material pleasure brings only pain at the end. They do not lead to anything but that. Therefore, a person attached to material pleasures becomes happy at the end. When that unhappiness becomes very acute, becomes unhappy at the end. When that unhappiness becomes very acute, the soul begins to desire happiness that is not mixed with suffering. From that desire comes intelligence. From the intelligence comes spirit to inquire. That inquiry comes in association with saintly person. From association with saintly persons come faith in spiritual life, and from faith in spiritual life one becomes gradually elevated. In this way, what began as pain became as an end of giver auspicious happiness. When it is heated and burnished, impure gold becomes pure. In the same way, when they suffer in Maya's material world, the impure soul, averse to Krishna and yearning to enjoy Maya, becomes purified. That this suffering turns into giver of happiness is the mercy of Lord. Therefore, they who are far-sighted see these sufferings of the conditioned souls eventually bring auspicious happiness. They are short-sighted, cannot see this. They see only suffering. So it's a very important paragraph which talks about how this world is a creation of Krishna, and this creation of this world is actually mercy of Krishna. As I referred to yesterday, we were in a little bit hurry, Karunyam Tat Kriya. This is one of the sutras written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Tattva Sutras, one of the sutras. Karunyam Tat Kriya. That means this whole material world is a creation of Krishna, is actually mercy of Krishna. Because Krishna doesn't know anything else other than showing mercy. This is actually mercy of Krishna. No, if you have proper perspective, it is mercy of Krishna. If you don't have proper perspective, then this world is full of suffering and that and this, you know. This thing. Because whole problem comes is when we think that happiness in this world is happiness and suffering is suffering. But we don't understand that happiness is also suffering. When we understand this happiness is also suffering, that is the time. That is actually the real mercy of Krishna is this. Then you think everything in this, even material happiness is suffering. When we understand, or when you start experiencing material happiness is suffering, and that is actually beginning of spiritual life. Material life means to think happiness is happiness and misery is misery. When we consider happiness and misery both to be misery, because we are separated from Krishna, and that is the beginning of spiritual life. Now, goes further. Rajanath asks, although they may bring happiness at the end, but the present condition is suffering. Very painful. Could not the all-powerful Lord invent a different path, one without suffering, to undergo all this suffering? Now, Lord Krishna enjoys many different kinds of wonderful pastimes. That is one of the wonderful pastimes. A person who is supremely independent can enjoy many different kinds of pastimes. And this may be one of them. Why not? If the Lord has every kind of pastime, then no pastime may be rejected. If one pastime is subordinate for another, then still some kind of trouble must be expected. Lord Krishna, He is the Supreme Person and Creator. Everyone is subjected to His will. If one person is subjected to another will, is there not some difficulty in that? Yes. If that difficulty eventually leads to happiness, then it is no difficulty. Why do you say it is suffering and difficulty? Means in this world, why do you say difficulty? If to expand Lord Krishna's pastime, the individual soul go through some difficulty. The difficulties are not only happiness. Lord Krishna's pastimes are naturally full of bliss. If an individual soul of his own free will voluntarily leaves those pastimes and enters the world of Maya and accepts suffering here, then if anyone is at fault, who is at fault? The living entity. Krishna is not at fault. So that is the natural conditioned mentality to show fault at Krishna. To say, why God is giving us suffering? Why God is giving us suffering? The problem. You wanted it. What He can do about it? You chose it. Like some people say, oh God, why are you making me suffer like this? God doesn't want you to suffer. You wanted to suffer. Like some people say there is a famous example. So sometimes a weak person is there. He he is bashed up, beaten up by a strong person. Now this weak person, he wants to show off that he is also very strong. He would tell everyone, just leave me, I'll go and beat him up, bash him up. But actually nobody is holding him. He is only holding on to them. So you hold on to a tree and then say, leave it. So that is the problem. So when somebody says, oh Lord, when will I give up this mental attraction, mental attachment? The point is, you have to give it up. It is not that when the Maya is going to hold. Maya is not holding us. It is I who is holding to Maya. So this problem is with me. Vrajanath, in that situation, what is the harm that Lord Krishna does not give? What is the harm that Lord Krishna does not give soul free will? When they understood, the problem is free will. Yes.
Yeah. So what makes it do that for the free will is there, we understand.
Nice. Yes. If you hold, next paragraph it will come. We'll have it. See, it's interesting, those who follow it, actually every question which comes in the mind is asked by Vajranath. That is why you may say, why no question answers? Because already questions are raised. Anything which comes to your mind is already asked further. Then we'll clarify the thing. So in that situation, what is harm that Lord Krishna doesn't give free will at all? Krishna knows everything. Krishna knows if a certain soul will misuse this free will and bring suffering to himself. In that situation, it is cruel for Krishna to give such a free will. Is it not? No, cruel. Krishna, cruelly he gave free will to us. Then, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, free will is a precious jewel. In the material world, there are many, many inanimate material objects. None of them have free will. These inanimate objects, they don't have free will. You have it. And that is why inanimate objects are lowly and unimportant. If he had not only been given the free will, the individual soul would be lowly and unimportant, just like inanimate object. The individual soul is a tiny particle of spirit. Whatever quality spirits has, the soul must also have. This your answer starts. Free will is one of the qualities of spirit. Spirit can never be separated from its eternal quality. Therefore, as a tiny particle of spirit, the soul must have free will. It is because of the free will that the individual souls are superior to inanimate matter and are the masters of the material world. The souls who all have free will are all dear servants of Krishna. When they misuse the free will and enter the world of Maya, merciful Krishna weeps to see how they are suffering. Eager to deliver them, he follows the individual soul into the material world. Aware that the souls will not see him, see his nectarian pastimes in the material world, he brings his inconcealed pastimes there. Seeing that the conditioned soul do not understand this pastime, he descends to Navadvipa and teaches them about this form, qualities and pastimes and about his own holy name, and in the best way for spiritual advancement. And he also teaches them by acting the role of his own devotee. Baba, how can you place the blame on merciful Krishna? Even though he is merciful, his mercy is fathomless, you remain unfortunate and very pathetic. So the whole sum and substance is, the problem is not the free will. Free will is so wonderful. But the problem is what? With what? The misuse or the free will. Now the question is, why the misuse happened? Let's go further. Is the Maya Shakti then our own enemy and the cause of our misfortune? Krishna is all powerful and all knowing. If Krishna has driven Maya far away, then the individual soul would have not to suffer. Oh, now again, still he is not able to understand the point about how the misuse of free will is a problem. He thinks Maya is the problem. Maya is a reflection of Lord's internal potency. She is perverted manifestation in Lord's pure spiritual energy. She purifies the criminal rebellious souls. She gives them a way to reform themselves. Maya is a maidservant of Lord Krishna. She punishes the souls averse to Lord Krishna. She gives them medicine and cures them. By forgetting, I am eternally servant of Krishna, this individual soul commits crime. They are at fault. It is because of this crime that the witch Maya punishes them. The criminal souls are sent to the prison, to the world of Maya. As it is out of kindness that a king sends criminal to prison, so it is out of kindness the Lord Krishna sends criminal souls to the prison of material world and places Maya there as the warden. Madhurna Thakur used the word warden. In I don't know how many of you have been in the hostel. Warden is the most hated person in the hostel. The problem is they don't know. But after passing out from the hostel, they remember the warden a lot. It is only known to those who have stayed in the hostel. They know, if you are in military, the sergeant is there who actually trains you. He's the most hated person. Sometimes people think of killing him. But after they pass out, whole life they remember, because he was like, he was very strict and he was beating us, he was making us do all kinds of punishments that we became okay, you know, we were strict. So, it's like a warden. And now coming back to your question, the misuse of free will. Now, before talking about why we misuse the free will, the question is not why we misuse the free will. The free will itself gives a scope of use and misuse. Free will itself implies there is proper use and misuse. Now the subject is, what is proper use and what is misuse? Let us have this idea. We are part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna is completely independent. So we are having partial independence. What is the partial independence? Whether to serve or whether to lord. You may say, where did his lording come from? Since the Lord is the Lord, we are also partially part and parcel of the Lord. So the lording is there in us eternally. Though we are servants of Krishna, the lording tendency is there eternally even in the spiritual world. So serving is the nature of the soul, lording is eternally there, and freedom is also there. So by the misuse of the freedom, sometimes we choose to lord. By the proper use of freedom, we serve the Lord. So, the very fact why we have misused is because the lording tendency is always there in us in a minute quantity. Lording tendency and enjoying tendency, both are always there. Because the Lord is the Lord, we are also having the lording tendency. Since the Lord is enjoyer, we also have the enjoying tendency. So the very fact that we are individual souls, that shows we have freedom, and freedom implies there is choice. The choice is between serve and lord. That is, I think, something somewhat clear. Yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah. That is true.
That's what my question was. What is it that caused us to misuse
the freedom? Cause of misuse. See, first is the opportunity of misuse is there.
That's for everyone.
Opportunity of misuse is there. When the opportunity is there, when it comes to consciousness and free will, there cannot be any mechanistic thing. You cannot have a formula. This is why. The only thing which you can say about it is, we chose. We just chose it, that's all. Because we have lording, we wanted to enjoy separately from Krishna.
Like
we want.
For example, in this world we have two things. We just chose.
Very, very good. In the material world there is a cause. The cause is the modes. The pushing of the modes. A person chooses to do some particular activity based on his modes. Prakriti kriyamanay gunay karvani sarvasha. Nahi kshanamapi jadu tishtat yakarmakrit karyatehi avashak karma prakriteir gunehi. Being controlled by the modes, they choose in a particular way. There is no influence of the modes. You are totally free. So this free will, in the free will there is Krishna. You can serve Krishna, you can choose to enjoy. So, if you have a cause for it, if you are forced, here we are avashah karma, we are forced to do a particular kind of activity. If there also some force is there behind it, then the question of free will is not there. We think out of free will we choose to do some sinful activity, we chose to do some pious activity. No. We are forced. That is called bandhan. In material world, actually, there is no free will. It is only at the tatastha level. That is where the free will is there. Once you are bound, there is only bandhan. It's only bondage. That free will is only very minute quantity only when you come into association of pure devotional service. So here, we cannot say this person, out of free will, he is doing sinful activity. Out of free will, he is doing pious activity. It is because the modes is accrued. Karanam gudasangasya sad asad yoni janmashu. So based on the nature he acts. Everybody is acting on nature. So there is no question in free will for such a person. Free will is between the choosing between matter and spirit. That's what is the thing. Yes, that is the time. That is where, that is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about it. A thin line between that thing is there and that way is. Yes. Yes, yes. Yes. And then after coming here, then again the Lord comes, the devotees come, and then they give again opportunity. Now you see, you have an opportunity, this or that, this or that. There are only two opportunities. Pious and impious is not the opportunity, both are material only. When the Lord's Haladini Shakti, or the devotional Shakti comes in this world through his pastimes, through the devotees, and they establish, and they come in contact, like, we distribute Sukruti, Mahaprasad, and we distribute in Nagar Sankirtan, we do. Some kind of attraction happens. And to say that this attraction to devotion is because of material piety is wrong. It is not because of that. So that's that up, you can apply that thing there.
That is the case. If yeah.
So that Nitya Siddha we have discussed, Nitya Siddha, those who are eternally liberated there, they are manifested of the Chit Shakti of the Lord. They are not manifested in the Jiva Shakti. That is all we discussed. They are a different category of souls altogether. Isn't it? Okay? So we belong to a different category of souls manifested with the Jiva Shakti. Hari Charana Tarathamya Chesham in the original Baldev Vidya Ocean proposed this thing. Taratamya is there. Madhvacharya talks about it. By using this word taratamya, he says there is a distinction between the souls depending on Hari Charana Jushaha, means depending on how they are engrossed in the lotus feet of Hari. There are some souls who are totally engrossed in there. And Srivad Madhvacharya's famous verses are three verses in the 15th chapter. That is where he established the entire Dvaita Siddhanta. 15th chapter of Gaita. Dvamimau Purushau Loke Ksharakshara Evacha. Charas sarvani bhutani kutas toksharo chate uttama purushastvan naya paramatme tudavrataha yo lokatrema vishya vibhartavya ishvara. What is the next verse? Yasmat charamati toham maksharadvicha uttama athosmi loke vedeja pratita purushottama. So 15th chapter is very important. These three verses in the 15th chapter are known as what? Vedanta Sara. Trishloki Gita. Huh? I taught you, isn't it? Huh? Trishloki Gita. Yeah. In the, huh? 16, 17, 18. 15? 16, 17, 18, 17, 18, 19. I think 16, 17, 18. I'm not so good at mathematics and numbers. Dva means two. Yes, there is akshara akshara. And Prabhupada talks about it in the second chapter itself. He says, further in the Bhagavad Gita, two kinds of living entities are discussed, akshara and akshara.
But in this terms, Madhavan has a different siddhanta than us. Because he says some living entities are eternally bound.
Ha ha. See, that has been.
Different
Siddhanta. Eternally rot in hell means that he doesn't deny the opportunity. See, there is also misinterpreted. I spoke to the Madhvas very clearly. Yes. They emphasize on the point of those demons. They are actually talking about those demons. They say they are meant to rot in hell eternally. They are indicating it to Mayavadis. So it is not that they. They accept only when the Lord shows mercy. When he kills them, they get liberated. When he kills those demons. It is not that there are some who would be always here only. It is actually the Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I make them go down.
This
verse. It is a bhava, more there, that is a bhava which is expressed there, rather than technically saying that it is not a technical thing. It is a bhava more there. It is not that one soul, he has meant to be here only. And that means the teacher tells the student, you are meant to fail in it, stay here only. Not that he doesn't have an opportunity. Every soul has an opportunity. But the soul which is like totally averse to the Supreme Lord, they are meant to stay here only. It is more the mood there rather than the technicality that technically every soul has an opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead. But those who are averse to Krishna, they would be here only. So that is what is explained there. Many times what happens is when we read the text without the teacher of that particular sampradaya, then what happens, we misunderstand. So even many of our ISKCON devotees, once Madhavendra Puri Prabhu was also teaching four sampradayas, he was telling the same point. I told Prabhuji, it is not so. I lived in that sampradaya whole life. I spoke to them, I spoke to the acharya. It is not like that. It is their aversion to the Mayavadis which actually makes them say this thing. And they quote this verse, Asurim Yoni Mapanna Mudho. They quote this verse and then they talk about this Mayavadis more. It is not that they are some kind of jivas who would never attain liberation. Technically, every jiva has can attain liberation. That's why it is. Yes? Yeah. Yeah. You have the opportunity to show your free will because humans can associate with saintly person and inquire. So that thing comes later about different levels of consciousness and all. Then Rajanath, yeah, you had to ask something. Yeah. If the material world is a prison, then what are the shackles? Very easy, you all know about it. There are three shackles made up of sattva, rajas, tama. How can the shackles of Maya bind the soul, which is an atomic particle of spirit? Yeah, this is a technical point here. So now the shackles are what? Sattva, rajas, tama. They are material. Soul is spirit. How can they bind the soul and matter? How can matter bind the soul? Okay. Material things cannot touch spiritual things. Point number one. When an individual soul gets an idea, I am the enjoyer of Maya. So your point is again explained here. The subtle covering of the material ego is placed on him. So this subtle covering of the material ego is placed on him. That is what Krishna does. That is binding. Like if you read Prabhupada's bhajan, when he was about to go to America, Bhagavad, Markine, something like that. So he says, oh Lord, it is by your will they are bound, only by your will they will be liberated. Then you say, hey, why the Lord will that we should be bound or what? No, because of your desire. What he gave the covering of the material ego. He placed around him. Covered in this way by the subtle matter, his feet are bound by the Maya shackle. The individual souls covered with material ego in the mode of goodness are demigods residing higher heavenly planets. The feet are bound by golden shackles of mode of goodness. Individual souls covered by material ego in mode of passion have a nature that is combination of nature of demigod and humans. Their feet are bound by silver shackles. The mode of passion, the individual soul covered by material ego in the mode of ignorance are intoxicated by material pleasures. Their feet are bound by iron shackles in the modes of ignorance. None of the shackles souls can leave the prison. All are troubled by many kinds of suffering. So now, what is bound? The soul? No. Consciousness. When the consciousness mixes with the modes of nature, That is where the false ego is created. So we are bound. The modes of nature affects this false ego. To give you a very plain example, very nice example which I always use to explain this point. Your tube light. Now you put a covering, a red color on the tube light, red color transparent paper. And you put a yellow color transparent paper. And you put a blue color transparent paper. Now, what is the light which you get? Some mixed, some bluish, some colored light comes. Now, tell me, is the light contaminated or the soul contaminated? Or the bulb contaminated? The light is contaminated. The soul is not bound. Who is bound? The consciousness is bound. So, we always talk about consciousness, purifying the consciousness, purifying the consciousness. We never talk about purifying the soul. So, here, what is bound, what is the thing which is bound is the consciousness which is emanating from the soul. The soul is like, it is not able to execute its normal function of serving Krishna. That is the suffering. If you say, what is the suffering of the soul? It is not, it's very hot, it is birth is death. Birth, death, old age and disease, this is also not the suffering of the soul. What is the real suffering of the soul? It's separation from Krishna. It is not able to serve Krishna. That is why I was hearing one wonderful lecture on one verse. Krishna says, Jaravarana Mokshaya Mama Shritya Tantye. Now, at least for the sake of getting rid of birth, death, old age and disease, take shelter of me. So in that, the point was, it is not that Krishna is telling, for getting rid of birth, death, old age and disease, take shelter of me. No, at least for that sake. Your natural position is to serve me. So now, you are not able to understand that you are in a wrong place. That is why this birth, death, old age and disease are given. Suffering is given. So that at least for that sake, you will understand your natural position. So, even if you say birth, death, old age and disease is suffering, but naturally, this is not the suffering of the soul. The real suffering is not able to perform its constitutional position. That is why just getting rid of birth, death, old age and disease is not neither liberation. Moksham, Vishnuangri, Labham. If getting rid of birth, death, old age and disease real liberation, then how can you explain the philosophy? So, the suffering of the soul is not birth, death, old age and disease. The suffering of the soul is what? It is not able to execute its natural function of serving Krishna. Okay. Vrajnath. The activities are done by soul is what are the activities done by the soul in Maya's prison? Firstly, they do what they can to enjoy material pleasure. And secondly, they do what they can avoid negative suffering. They try to enjoy and they try to do their best to get rid of suffering. Suffering that comes through the shackles that we wear. Please describe to me the first of these actions. Means how they try to enjoy. Now, the whole description goes. The Sula Sharira is a grass material body covering the soul. It has 6 stages of existence, birth, maintenance, decline, growth, change and dissolution. You know, 6 changes of the body. The grass body undergoes these 6 changes, hunger, thirst and others. Like desire is also part of the material body's nature. Pushed by the desire of material pleasure, the soul within the material body becomes an obedient servant of eating, sleeping, associating with women and other material activities. To attain material pleasures, they perform 10 pious rituals beginning with birth and all the sanskars which in the morning class I gave, sanskars, if you are Vedic. And he hopes by following the path of pious deeds, I enjoy with the demigods in Swarga. When I enter again human realm, I'll take birth in a Brahmana home and I'll enjoy mighty happiness. Or the imprisoned soul may follow the impious path. By performing many sins, he enjoys sense pleasure. But by the first course of action, one attains Swarga, another higher material planets. When his period of enjoyment ends, the soul again attains human body. By the second course of action, one goes to hell because of many, many sins. When this period of suffering ends, the soul comes back. It's all you know very well. In this way, the soul imprisoned by Maya travels on the wheel of karma. Day after day, he struggles to enjoy material happiness and he tastes the fruit of his actions. Thus, beginning at the time, he cannot trace, the soul wanders in the material world. By performing pious deeds, he briefly enjoys, and by performing sins, he suffers. So it's just a description of how we just try to do sometimes sin, sometimes pious activity, some souls do this thing and try to suffer and enjoy. Grass body. Now please describe the second kind of action. He tries to avoid suffering. Caught in the trap of many deeds, many needs, the soul is in the grass material body suffers. He drives away these sufferings. He acts in many ways. He drives away hunger and thirst. He struggles to get food and drink. To these things may come easily. He labors to collect money. He drives away the cold. He collects clothing. To stop thirst for sense pleasure, he becomes married and then he performs many other activities also. To fill the needs and increase their happiness of the family and descendants, he labors hard. When the gross mental body is attacked by disease, he finds some medicine or other ways to cure it. To protect his property, he enters disputes in law courts. He's a lawyer, he's telling me. He has to mention this. Tossed about by six valves, that is lust, anger, greed, bewilderment, pride and envy, he engages in fighting, argument, violence to others, tormenting others, robbing others, wealth, cruelties, senseless pride and a host of other evil deeds. So he can live independently. He builds his own house and performs other deeds. In this, a soul in Maya prison struggles day and night to attain pleasure and stop distress. It is, everybody wants that. You know, they want some pleasure and some misery comes, I don't want it. Sankalpa vikalpa. That's what is being described elaborately. Vrajnath, had Maya only covered the soul with the Linga Sharira, would that not have been enough? Why this grass body, only just subtle body is enough? Now the point is, no, it's not possible. With just the subtle body, the Linga Sharira, no one can perform actions. Therefore, the covering of the Sula Sharira is necessary. Following the result of actions performed by Sula Sharira, various desires are created in the Linga Sharira. Following these desires at the time of next birth, the soul attains an appropriate new Sula Sharira. So, it's all very much known.
And what about the higher beings? They apparently don't have.
You see, many of our devotees have this confusion. See, the subtle body, which is made up of mind, intelligence, and false ego, in the earthly planet, we find there is subtle body and then the gross body. Made up of earth, water, fire, air, ether. This is gross body. But when you go to higher planetary systems, still the subtle body is there. But what gross body they have? The gross body which they have is so subtle that we cannot perceive that. We cannot even perceive that. So they also have a gross body. For them, gross is so subtle that for us, that becomes subtle. So they also have gross body. Like they are only Brahma. His body is made up of intelligence. Only Brahma. And those who live in Brahma Loka, their body is made up of total intelligence. It is. There is no earth, water, fire, air, ether or something like that mixed in that. And that is the only place where that is like that. Everywhere they have some percentage of earth. Here, the percentage of earth is more. In these, the more the grass, the more the tamas increases. The body becomes more and more tamasic in the lower species and more sattvic in the higher species. That doesn't mean it's not grass body. It is grass body. That's the... What is the relationship between the action and the results they bring? The imams of philosophers say that God, who awards the result of action, is only a fiction. That every action produces something called apurva, and this apurva gives the result of the actions. Is it true? You should have a small understanding about what these karma imams philosophers are. We know the six systems of philosophy, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Sankhya, Yoga, Purvamimamsa. These six systems of philosophy, one is called Karmamimamsa, or those who propagate Karmakanda as the process of self-realization. And for them, self-realization is what? Enjoyment. So they also talk of self-realization. But for them, self-realization is enjoyment. And what is the process? Karmakanda. So many of the devotees, they have this idea. They say Karmakanda is Karmamimamsa. No. Karmakanda is just a ritual. And the philosophy which advocates that by rituals you will attain the goal of life, which is enjoyment, that is Karmamimamsa philosophy. So these Karmamimamsa philosophers, they are very dangerous. Karmakandis are not so dangerous. These Karmamimamsa philosophers, those who advocate like a thief is not such a big problem. But a police who says you are doing a very good job. He is more dangerous, which is encouraging. At least thief knows, I am doing something theft. I should not do it, but still he does. But a government officer comes and says, very good, wonderful, go on doing it. So he is more dangerous. So these Karmamimamsa philosophers, they are more dangerous because they advocate Karmakanda as a process of self-realization. So that is why as soon as devotees hear the word Karmakanda, immediately they say, hey, it's horrible. It's just Karmakanda. If somebody is doing some yajna, I say, it's Karmakanda, Prabhu. Chant the holy name. But there are some pious Brahmins who just do Karmakanda. Especially, there are some Madhvas and Sri Vaishnavas. They're born in Brahmin families. And they do Karmakanda. But the philosophy is not Karmakanda. Because they have to get their daughter married. What will they do, tell me? They will do some Karmakanda and then chant Hare Krishna and they chant Om Namo Narayana and be happy with them. So, we should be very careful in dealing with the Karmakandis or the Karmamimamsa philosophers. These Karmamimamsa philosophers are so horrible, these philosophers. They are the greatest opponents of the Vedantists. That is why in the Vedanta Sutra, when we talk about Vedanta Sutra, the first one, Athato Brahma Jigyasa. Generally, mostly we interpret that verse addressing the common man in the street. Now, since you are a human form of life, inquire into the absolute truth. But what do you say? But actually, that verse is refuting the Karmamimamsa philosophers who say, why inquire into absolute truth? Enjoy. Just do. Athato dharma jignyasa, follow your dharma, that's all. Why you have to inquire into the absolute truth? Because your Upanishad only tells. What do they say? Isha Upanishad, second verse. What is this one? Second one says, Kurvan neveha karmani jijivishe chatam samaha. Do karma and live for 100 years. That is what the Upanishad says. The Karmakandis say, the Karmamimamsa philosopher says, even your Upanishad say, do karma and live for 100 years. But they don't read the previous verse. That is the problem. The previous is, Kurvan eva iha. The word eva iha says, iha means here. But eva here refers to the previous word. In this way, you should do karma. How? Isha vashyamidam sarvam yat kinchit jagatyam jagat. So just imagine the way they misinterpret the words. Even the Mayavadis don't do that. So be very careful. This Karmamimamsa, thank God, hardly anybody is alive now in the planet. Yes. Yes. Because this Karmamimamsa philosophers, for them, Karmakanda. And Karmakanda has got actually, the karma is of three. Jyotish karma, this Karmakanda, and this Tantric karma. There are three aspects to it. And now, the motivator for the other two is Jyotish. Jyotish, you have that thing, you do that thing, they make big. Of course, all the three have some use. That doesn't mean that becomes the goal of life. So, very dangerous people. Now, to such an extent, they are so horrible, they say that they talk about Vishnu, they talk about Paramatma, but they say this Paramatma or Vishnu is only agent to give your karma. So they make Vishnu's position subservient to your karma. So you, like the famous statements which generally people say, mothers tell the children, that work hard, you will get good results. That means even God will be bound to your karma. He has to give good. He generally gives good. That doesn't mean he has to. They want to bind God by karma. That is called karma mamsa. So they bring up, then they say, who is God then? God is actually apurva. And who actually not exists also. An unexistence God who is apurva. It's like a bank balance. For them, bank balance is like God. This is the apurva. It's mentioned. Anyway, if I get into this, it's a long class. I have to finish this thing now. Somehow I... Morning, I gave classes. who heard the morning's class? You heard the class, isn't it? Wait for good Brahmins to come who can do proper Pindudana. Till then, chant Hare Krishna. That is what I can tell. Yeah, some grasses should take up the process and study this and learn Satkriya Sardipika. Solve this all day, then the problem is solved. Otherwise, it will not be solved. Till some we have good Brahmins. Brahmin is material. So we have problem is material. See, there can be no spiritual problems. Spiritual means bliss only. Problem is material. So to solve a material problem, you require a material person. Isn't it? So the material problem, you have a material person. Material person means you require a Brahmana. Brahmins are expert in solving these problems. So we don't have those Brahmanas who can really conduct all the sanskars properly. Who can guide people in material. We have expert in people. We have expert people in our organization who can give spiritual guidance. We have very few people who can give good material guidance. It's true. It's a fact. That is why people face a lot of problems. Problems material. So we don't have proper person to give a material guidance. They just give something from their own mind. They speculate and tell. They approach their guru. Spiritual master is flying around from this place to that place. Whom should I get married to? He just kissed married devotee. And he says, can I marry? And then they just get married. After that they have problems. What they come to Guru and say, I don't have time. So many things happen. Because there is no proper system. It will evolve. It is actually happening. It will happen. Just a question of time. That's all. Next. Where are we? Apurva. The followers of Karma Mimamsa do not understand the true conclusion of Vedas. Quickly glancing at Vedic ignorance and other pious deeds, they come to a hasty conclusion. The true conclusion of the Vedas do not grasp. The Vedas explain in Shvetashtha Upanishad. Vasuparna, Sayuja, Sakya, Samanam, Vruksham, Parisa, Swajate, Tayuranya, Pipalam Swadyati Anashnam Anyo Bhiksha Syati. In the individual spirit soul, the super soul, supreme personality of God are like two friendly birds sitting on one tree. One of the birds is eating the fruit of the tree. Another bird is trying to eat the not trying to eat the fruit but simply watching the friend. So it clearly shows that the super soul is watching. But he is not involved in karma. What to speak of getting bound by karma? The super soul is not involved in the karma at all. It is just watching. Where is there an invention of any Mimamsa philosophers, Apurva? Any conclusion that denies the existence of God cannot be good. So these Karma Mimamsa philosophers, they consider themselves to be worshippers of God and all these things. So they are actually atheistic. Even to such an extent, they worship demigods. According to them, you know who are demigods? They are just some sound vibrations, that's all. When devotees, they say Ganesha is servant of Krishna, they accept Ganesha exists, he's a person. But those Karmamimamsa philosophers, according to them, Ganesha is just Om Ganapataye Namaha, that's all. Only those words. That is why he is present only when they do it. He is not present before, he is not present later. They are only now sound forms, that's all. They are not real existence. They don't have real existence, according to Karmamsa philosophers. Just imagine, those who they are worshipping, they don't even accept their existence. Do you think there can be more atheistic people than them? No. Anyhow, going further. Vrajana, why do you say the karma has no beginning? Important topic. Material desires is the root from which all karma grows. Ignorance is the root from which material desires grow. That ignorance begins within the boundaries of material name. The ignorance that is the root of individual's karma begins at the borderline of matter and spirit, tatastha. Therefore, the beginning of karma covers outside the framework of time. In that sense, karma has no beginning. Anadi karma phale. Why the word anadi has been used? Because this started when? Before the framework of time. That is why the word anadi or eternal has been used. What is the difference between maya and ignorance? Maya is Lord Krishna's potency. Using this potency, he created the material world to purify the rebellious souls. Maya has two features, avidya, ignorance, and pradhana, the primordial form of matter. Avidya directs her efforts to the individual soul, and pradhana directs its efforts in inanimate matter. From pradhana, the material universes are manifested. From vidya, the mahavidya, the material desires, the conditioned souls are manifested. Maya also has two other features, vidya and avidya. These two both direct their efforts to the individual spirit soul. Avidya keeps the soul imprisoned in the material world, and vidya releases them from the prison. When the criminal soul turns towards Krishna, the vidya potency acts on them. And when the criminal soul forgets Krishna, the vidya potency acts on them. Knowledge of Brahman is a specific feature of vidya. The first phase of vidya is pious deeds, and the concluding phase is understanding the truth. Avidya covers the soul and vidya uncovers the soul. So these are two aspects of maya. But this vidya, which is the aspect of maya, will only lead to the soul to the understanding that I am not this body and spirit soul. But understanding that I am servant of Krishna will not come from the vidya of maya potency. Okay, that should be kept in mind. That is why you should be very careful about it. You cannot miss. Vrajana, what does pradhana do? Many devotees have this question, what is this pradhana? In the beginning, the Supreme Lord employs time to agitate the material energy. In this way, the Mahatattva is produced. Agitated in this way, Maya's feature called pradhana creates things. From the Mahatattva, the false ego is manifest. This will all come in the third canto when you just next month, exactly the same day, 17th, we'll start this thing. When the false ego is transformed by ignorance, the sky is manifested. From the sky, air is manifested. From air, fire is manifested. From fire, water is manifested. From water, earth is manifested. All these things, it goes on. In this way, the five material elements, which are called Pancha Mahabhutas, are manifested. Now please hear from how the five Tanmatras are created. When time agitates avidya, ignorance, jnana, knowledge of impersonal, and karma, fruitive actions are manifested from Mahatattva. From karma, thus manifested from the Mahatattva, the mode of goodness and passion are manifested. From them come from the karma, thus manifested from Mahatattva, the mode of goodness and passion manifested. And from them comes jnana and kriya. From the Mahatattva, false ego is manifested. Yeah, I'm just reading through. We'll discuss elaborately when next month, when Kapila thing comes. And from Mahatattva, false ego is manifested. From false ego, intelligence manifested. From intelligence, the quality of sound is perceived in sky. From sound comes touch. From sound and touch are manifested in air. From the air. Then comes prana, the life force, ojas, energy, and balaja strength. In the fire are manifested form, touch, and sound. Then by manifestation created by time, water is manifested, water is our taste form, touch and sound. Further manifestation brings earth, in which are the fragrance, touch form, fragrant taste form, touch and sound. All knowing Purusha avatar helps these changes become manifest. False ego has three features: Vaikarika, goodness; Taijasa, passion; and Tamasa, ignorance. From false ego in the mode of goodness, mental objects are manifested. From false ego in the mode of passion, the 10 material senses are manifested. In false, then there are two sets of senses: knowledge acquiring and working senses. Knowledge acquiring senses are eyes, ears, nose, tongue and skin. The working senses are voice, hands, feet, genitals and rectum. Even when the gross and subtle elements are assembled together, nothing can happen until the individual soul, the tiny particle of spirit, enters. With a glance, the Supreme Personality places the individual souls in the body of gross and subtle elements, and only then does the body begins to move. In this way, the senses manifested by the modes of goodness and passion come into contact. The sense objects, pradana, has manifested through the modes of ignorance. In this way, avidya and pradana act. Maya is divided into 24 categories. Five great elements, you know it very well. The 24 elements, you are very much aware of this thing. Let us go to the next question. Rajanath, in a human body of seven spans, how do you say span in English? What do you understand by span? This much is a span. Like this. Our whole body is considered to be like seven times this hand. This is called a span. What part of the subtle body and what part the gross body, and where is the body, where in the body does the spirit soul reside? Please tell. The sthula sharira gross body consists of five elements, panchamahabhutas, sense objects, panchatanmatras and ten senses. The linga sharira subtle body consists of mind, heart, intelligence and false ego. The individual spirit falsely thinks of his material body in terms of eye and mind. In this way, he does not understand how his own welfare is best served. The soul, a tiny fragment of the spirit, exists in a dimension beyond time and space and other features of the material world. Listen again. The soul, a tiny fragment of spirit, exists in a dimension beyond time, space and other features of the material body. Where is the spirit soul then? Okay, go further. As a tiny drop of sand would pay schools the entire body, so the soul, situated in one place within the material body, is aware of the pleasure and pain of the body as a whole. So, anyway, I'll not get into this complicated topic. Rajanath, if by actions the individual soul creates his own pleasure and suffering, what does the Supreme Personality got to do? Yeah, he is working hard and earning some money and is suffering or enjoying. What he has got to do? The individual soul is the immediate cause, but the Supreme Personality is the ultimate cause. By his various actions, the individual soul makes himself qualified to receive various results. However, he does not have the power to simply take them. All results must be given to him by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate cause. Until unless Krishna sanctions, even karma phala will not come. The Karmavamsa philosophers doesn't accept it. They just accept Krishna is only a cashier. You go and give the check, he has to give the cash. But we don't accept that. You may go and give the check, but he can take the check, cash, everything, and keeps quiet also. He can do that also. So he is free. Avigna Swarat. That Swarat is not understood by Karmavamsa philosophers. Yeah. You have not done it properly. Or some other karma which you have performed in the past is obstructing it. Come to me, I'll tell you what it is. Give your chart, I'll tell you. So you give and give the chart. For that you have to do Gana Homa. What do you have to do for that? I just have to, you know, spend 5,000 rupees, that's all. I'll get it done for you. That's what Mataji was telling. Isn't it? That is how they do. Isn't it? That is how you bring your chart then. I'll tell you. I can also tell, no problem. I know how, you know, what the planets are, where they are, how they are obstructing. Isn't it? Where are we? If by his actions, the individual is, what is, go further. So he just is a karma phala pradata. Yes, he's just the karma phala pradata. He's just there. Krishna is, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, as super soul, what does he do? What is it verse? Upadrashta anumanta he permits. Bhartha, bhokta, maheshwara. Until as he gives anumati, karma phala will not come to us. It's not possible. Vrajnath, through what different stages of life do the soul imprisoned by Maya pass? The soul imprisoned by Maya in a gross material body passes through 5 stages of existence. Now, your point about human consciousness comes. Achhadit chetana, that is covered consciousness. Sankuchit chetana, that is retracted consciousness. Mukulita chetana, budding consciousness. Vikarita chetana, vikasita chetana, that is blossoming consciousness. Purna vikasita chetana, fully blossomed consciousness. Vajna. Which souls are in the stage of covered consciousness? The souls who reside in the bodies of trees, etc. Trees, stones, you know, stones. There are some stones where souls are also there. Some stones are living. They are covered, totally covered consciousness. Which are the souls which are retracted? Animals, birds, beasts, etc. Which souls are the stage of budding consciousness? Humans are categorized in 3 levels, 3 states of consciousness. Human consciousness can have, all humans either are in budding, or blossoming, or blossomed. Atheists who follow moral principles, people who believe in God and follow moral principles, people engage in practical devotional studies, sadhana bhakti, and people engage in loving devotional studies, bhava bhakti. Thus, the categories are people who, because of ignorance or because of improper knowledge, become atheistic people. The immoral people, the moral atheist, they are atheist, their improper knowledge become atheistic. The immoral people and the moral atheist, there is a moral atheist also. And the moral people who have little faith in God, the people who believe in God, the people who are following the rules of scriptures, engage in sadhana bhakti, and people who have attained, there are different categories of people here. The immoral people and the 2 kinds of atheists are situated in a stage of budding consciousness. People who believe in God and people who engage in sadhana bhakti are situated in a stage of blossoming consciousness. And those who engage in bhava bhakti, fully blossom consciousness. Just the categorization, that's all. For how many days do the soul situated in bhava bhakti continue to stay in Maya? In Maya's prison? This question is answered in the 7th verse of Dashamul. Now it is right, night, you should go home. How long you have to stay in the prison house? So now, after hearing the cruel nature of material world, Rajanath, he just thought, now I don't want to get married now. His grandmother is now finding out someone. She found out one of his uncle who was very crooked, and he thought, let me do something. Then what his uncle did, he went and told Rajanath, you see, this Babaji is very cruel. He is trying to make our Brahmana community degraded. She has caught hold of you by his Tantra Shakti. Now this Babaji wants, his goal is so that you, he'll make you some kind of Vaishnava, his disciple, and he'll make you eat the remnants of all the Chandalas. Now he goes to the Babaji. He says, that is Vrajanath, I know him very well, I am his uncle. And he is just coming to get some advantage from you. So be careful about him. He acts as if he's a Vaishnava and very humble in front of you, but I know him, he does what all nonsense he does. So now in this way, he tried to disturb. And now somehow or the other, Brajanath again goes to Babaji and he pays obeisance to him and says, this is what is happening. Babaji says, he is speaking ill against you to me, he is speaking ill against me to you. Because of he spoke so many things, have you lost some faith in me? Babaji told, no. I have not lost faith in you. Actually, you have come, I am so happy. Please come. In this way, both of them sit. And again, the discussion starts. So, the discussion starts with Brajanath. Brajanath, let us forget all he has said. All he has said means that person, uncle of Brajanath. How is the soul released from Maya's prison? That is the question of Brajanath. I just want to know how to get out of it now. I am also asking how to get out of it. I am really in the position how to get out of this position. So then Babaji, when you hear the seventh verse of Dashamool, you will find answer to the question. The seventh verse talks about liberated soul. What is the situation of liberated soul?
Yada Brahman Brahmahari Rasagaladat Vaishnava Janam Kadachis Sampashyan Tad Anugamane Syad Ruchiriha Tada Krishna Vrutyatyajati Sankarai Nayakai Dasam Mayeka Dasam Swarupam Vibhrano Vimalarasa Bhogam Sa Kurute.
When a soul wandering from one species to another in the material world sees a Vaishnava filled with nectar of devotion to Hari, he becomes attracted to follow the Vaishnava. By chanting the holy names of Krishna, the soul gradually renounces materialism. And in the end, he regains his original spiritual form. In that form, he enjoys a pure and sweet nectar of spiritual mellow, of direct service to Krishna. Now, as soon as it was heard, Brajanath said, I would like to hear one or two quotes from the Vedas as an evidence for these truth. So I want to hear about it. So, from the Vedas, Samane Vrikshe Purusho Nimagno Nishaya Sochati Muhyamana Yushtam Yada Pashyati Anyamisham Asya Mahimanam Iti Vita Shogha. We know these famous words. Like there are two birds on a tree. One is completely engrossed in enjoying the two kinds of fruit. Other is looking at him. Only when this bird, this friend, gives up all his anxiety, then only he can see. Brajanath, it is said that when he sees the worshipful Supreme Lord and understands his glory, the individual soul becomes free from anxiety. Do these words describe liberation? When one is released from Maya's prison, that is called liberation. To attain liberation, one must associate with the saintly devotee of the Lord. When it attains liberation, the soul regains its original spiritual glory. The kind of liberation should be sought in Bhagavatam is Mukti Ritva Anyatharupam Sarupena Vivastiti. Very famous. All devotees know this thing. It comes in 10 subject matters of Bhagavatam. One of the 10 subject matters is Mukti. Mukti is defined like this. Liberation means to give up all kinds of Sarupa and accepting the real Sarupa, that is Jivaya Sarupa Hai. Yes. When the soul is released from Maya's prison, at that moment he is at once liberated. However, when he is thus situated in the original form, the soul begins to perform an endless series of spiritual activities. The soul's first need is to perform these activities. It may be said that liberation puts an end to the great loss of suffering, gives to a host of suffering. However, beyond that, liberation brings with its spiritual bliss. This is described in the following verses, Chandogya Upanishad.
Evam evaisya samprasadosmacharitat samutyaya param jyotir upasampada svena swarupenanu paschade sa uttama purusha sa tatra pareti yakam kridam rama manaha.
This English is like The soul leaves the material body and goes to effulgent Supreme Personality of Godhead. The soul then regains its original spiritual form. And in that form, he enjoys many pastimes, eating and playing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Directly from the Vedic literatures. Directly from the Upanishads. Chandogya Upanishad. That he plays with the Lord, he eats with the Lord. It's a sauttaha purusha satatra prayeti jagasam kridan ramyamanaha. So it's a very important point in philosophy to explain what is after liberation. What happens after liberation? And accept Vaishnava philosophy. All other philosophies end in such a stale explanation. After everything, nothing is there. After everything, after all the hangama you do in sadhana and all these things, what you attain? It's peace. I am already peaceful. Why are you disturbing me then? So, the only motivation for a Vaishnava philosophy, as for you meet Krishna, you play with him, you dance with him, isn't it? You speak to the Buddhists, they talk about all the things. What ultimately you are going to achieve, tell me? You become nothing. I don't want to become nothing now. Actually, only a frustrated person accepts that philosophy because they want to become nothing. Even a little bit, somebody intelligent, no? They would not accept any other philosophy other than Vaishnava philosophy. When I was initially coming to ISKCON, I asked one devotee, okay, I do all these things, whatever you say, Chilo. All practices, getting up early in the morning, chanting. It's tough, but I'll do it. But tell me, what is the result? You know what the devotee told me? The devotee is not, at present, he's not in ISKCON, he left it. He's Italian Gauranga, he's in Mayapur. He told me, you can dance with Krishna. You can play with Krishna. Then he said, yes. Okay, then I'll do. Then it's okay. Right from childhood, you're hearing about Krishna is God. Well, you can see him, you can meet him. That was a great motivating force. Nobody talks about it. They just say, you know, liberation, mukti, mukti. It's so dry. But when you hear that you're going to do something wonderful, then it becomes a great motivation. Vrajanath. What are the signs that show one has been released from Maya? 8 signs are there described in the Chandogya Upanishad. Let us see what these 8 signs are. Atma parta papma virajo vimuktur vishoko vijagsto apipasa satyakama satyakan sankalpa so anu. Yeah. These red lines below the in the computer, this comes very difficult to get these things in English. One should seek a soul who is free from sin, old age, death, lamentation, hunger, thirst, who desires the truth and whose thoughts are fixed on the truth. So these are the symptoms. This is there in that. In the verse from the Dashamula, it was said that when he attains associations of Vaishnava who relishes the nectarous mellow of service to Hari, the soul wandering the cycle of birth and death can attain auspiciousness. I have a question. By practicing impersonal speculation, Ashtanga Yoga and other auspicious deeds, does not at the end attain devotionalness to Hari? Wow. Where is that? Hari? With his own mouth, transcendental mouth, the Supreme Personality of God declares in the Bhagavatam. What does he say? Naro jati mam yogo. Actually, na sadhyati. Now what ro R is there? Some mistakes are there, maybe. Na sadhyati mam yogo. Na sankhyam dharma evacha. Na svadhyayastapo tyago. Neshthapurtam na dakshina. So, vartani yajnas chandamsi tirthani. Niyama yamaha yathanuvartante satsangaha sarva sangavalohi mam. So it's clearly known, only by devotion one can attain Krishna, and all the other things have no way can give you devotion. We'll go further. Vrajanath. By performing pious deeds, one attains the auspiciousness of saintly persons. what are these pious deeds? Are they not karma and jnana? The scriptures describe pious deeds. Pious deeds are two kinds. Pious deeds that bring devotional service, pious deeds that bring useless results. Pious deeds that bring useless results. Regular and occasional way. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is, you know, very silently comical. I just mentioned one line. Pious deeds which bring useless results. Regular and occasional Vedic duties, Sankhya, philosophy and impersonal speculation all bring useless results. Association with saint devotees and contact with places, times and things that bring devotion brings the result of devotion. You know, in Bhakti Samasana you have done all these things. As one accumulates these results, they eventually become so powerful that they bring devotion to Krishna. The useless results produced by other pious activities do not accumulate in this way. One enjoys the results and then they are gone. In this material world, pious activities like giving charity, bring material enjoyment as a result. Impersonal speculation, other activities bring impersonal liberation as a result. These activities do not have power to give devotional service. Associating with saintly devotees, observing Ekadashi, Janmashtami, Gaur Purnima, and other holy days that install devotion in the person observing them, worshipping Tulasi, worshipping Lord in his temple, honoring Mahaprasadam, visiting holy places, and touching the devotees, all bring result of devotional service. If a person tormented by the troubles of material life flees from material illusion and intelligently takes shelter of lotus feet, will he not attain devotional service? If he intelligently understands that his sufferings are all caused by illusory potency maya, that the entire material world is by nature inauspicious, and that his only shelter is the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Lord, Supreme Lord, and association Lord's devotees, then he will take shelter of the lotus feet of the devotees who have taken shelter of the feet of the Lord. Taking shelter of their feet is the most effective means to attain devotional service. That is the way one attains the feet of the Supreme Lord. In the beginning, renunciation and intelligence to be understood what is auspicious and what is not auspicious are certainly present. But they are of only secondary importance. For a person striving for devotional service, association with saintly person is the most important factor in attaining devotional service. Aside from the association, no other means is very important. So one thing is your understanding, intellectual understanding of what is material world and understanding what is good, what is bad. Everything should lead to association with saintly person. Other things are secondary. That is what is the essence of this. Now, Rajanath, what is objection to saying that karma, jnana and vairagya and viveka are secondary means that also help one attain devotional service? Oh, there is an objection. Generally, these means bring results that are trivial and useless. After giving the soul material pleasure, pious deeds go away. Renunciation and the ability to understand what is auspicious and what is not tend to lead the soul to impersonalism. Impersonalism tend to cheat the soul of the opportunity to attain the Lord's feet. One should not trust these means to bring devotional service. Sometimes these means may take one to devotional service, but generally they do not. On the other hand, association with pure devotee does not bring result that are trivial and temporary. Their association inevitably brings one to pure love. Very few are human beings, and among them, few are interested in following the religious principles. Prayo mumukshavah tesham kechaneva dvijottama mukshunam sahasreshu kechin mucheta siddhyati. O best of the Brahmanas, Sukadeva Goswami, out of many persons who follow religious principles, only a few desire liberation from the material world. Among thousands who desire liberation, one may actually achieve liberation. Giving a material attachment to society, friendship, love, country alone, wife and children. And among many thousands of celebrated persons, one who can understand the true meaning of liberation is very rare. Only pure devotees are really free from anarthas. Such devotees are very rare. One must search among many millions and millions of liberated souls to find one devotee of Lord Krishna. Therefore, in this material world, there is no group more difficult to associate than the devotee of Lord Krishna. Now, there's the word Vaishnava. Refer only to Vaishnava who has renounced family life. Now, the word Vaishnava refers to a pure devotee of Krishna. Such a devotee may be either householder or a sannyasi. He may be a brahmana or a chandala. He may be wealthy or poverty stricken. To the extent that he has pure devotion to Krishna, to that extent he is a pure devotee. Rajana says, you explained the soul swallowed up by Maya are five kinds. In those five kinds of souls imprisoned by Maya, you included the sadhana bhaktas, devotees in the stage of devotion in practice, and bhava bhaktas, devotees in the stage of pure love. Which devotees are released from Maya prison? Now, he says, from the moment he begins to live as a devotee to the Lord, the soul may be said to be released from Maya's prison. What a powerful statement. However, the final stage of release from Maya's prison is only situated when one attains the final stage of mature devotion to the Lord. Before that, one is situated in the preliminary stages of release from Maya prison. When the gross, stula sharira and linga sharira material bodies are both finally broken, the soul attains the final stage of release from Maya's prison. By practicing sadhana bhakti, the practical activities of devotional service, one gradually attains bhava bhakti. When bhava bhakti becomes strong and firm, the soul is able at the time of leaving the gross body to leave the subtle body also and be situated in its original spiritual form. Because material life lingers during the stage of sadhana bhakti, and because it is not yet completely removed even at the beginning stage of bhava bhakti, the sadhana bhaktas and bhava bhaktas are included among the five kinds of souls swallowed by Maya. The materialistic and impersonalists are certainly to be counted among the souls swallowed by Maya. Among the liberated souls, they who have attained liberation by engaging in the devotional service to Lord Hari have alone attained the true perfection of liberation. A soul who committed offences and is therefore imprisoned by Maya, I am servant of Krishna. That forgetfulness is the root from which his offence grow. Without the mercy of Krishna, the soul is not excused from his offence. In the same way, without the mercy of Krishna, that should be there. The impersonalist sampradaya's faith that by cultivating impersonal speculation, they will attain liberation. That faith is groundless. Without first attaining the mercy of Krishna, no one is released from Maya's prison. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the demigods speak two verses regarding this. Enye naravindaksha vimuktamanias triya sadbhavata vishuddha buddhaya aruhya kruchena param padam patta tata patantyado anadrata jishmadangriyaha. So, you know that how even those who are liberated, if they don't worship the lotus feet of Krishna, they fall down. Tata nate ma datavaka kvachit prashyanti margatvai buddhalab buddha sauruda tvaya abhigupta vicharanti nirbhayat vinayaka kampa murdhashu prabho. O Madhava, Supreme Personality Godhead, Lord of Goddess of Fortune, if devotees completely in love with you sometimes fall down from the path of devotion, they do not fall like non-devotees, for they still protect them. They are fearless. They fearlessly traverse the head of their opponents, on the head of their opponents, and continue to progress in devotional service. Narada Samvad, Vyasavad also comes the same thing. When the devotees, they fall down, it is not like the fall down of the non-devotees. Upaguhanam punar, because they always contemplate on embracing the lotus feet of the Lord, they come down. Rajnath, what are the different kinds of souls free from Maya's prison? Again, it was explained before, but again, A full description is given. The souls free from Maya is present of two kinds. Nitya Mukta, the souls who were never placed in Maya's prison. Baddha Mukta, the souls who were at one time imprisoned but now free. The Nitya Mukta souls may be divided into two groups. Aishwarya Gata, souls who appreciate Lord's feature of opulence. Madhurya Gata, souls who appreciate Lord's sweetness. The Aishwarya Gata Nitya Mukta souls are personal associates of Narayana, Master Vaikuntha. They are the principles of spiritual effulgence emanated from Lord Mahasankarsana, who resides in Vaikuntha. The Madhurya Gata Nitya Mukta souls are personal souls of Lord Krishna, the Master of Gokul. They are the particles of spiritual effulgence manifested from Baladev, who reside in Golok Vrindavan. The Baddha Mukta souls, who are once imprisoned but now free, are three kinds. Aishwarya Gata, souls who appreciate Lord's feature of opulence. Madhurya Gata, souls who appreciate Lord's feature of sweetness. And Brahma Jyoti Gata, souls situated within Lord's spiritual effulgence. Souls who, during their period of practicing sadhana bhakti, are attracted to Lord's opulence, become eternal associates of Narayana, the Master of Vaikuntha. They attain Salokya Mukti, the liberation of residing on the same planet of the Lord. Souls who, during their period of practice of sadhana bhakti, are attracted to Lord's sweetness. After liberation, enjoy the sweetness in direct service to Krishna in the eternal spiritual world of Vrindavan and other like abodes. Souls who, during the period of sadhana, are attracted to become one with the Lord, after liberation, attain Brahma Sahujya Mukti, the liberation of merging with the Lord. In this way, these souls are completely destroyed. Rajanath. What is the final destination of the soul who is a devotee of Lord Gaur Kishora, Lord Chaitanya? Krishna and Gaur Kishore are not different. They are both shelters of the features of sweetness, Madhurya. They do not have one difference, Madhurya Rasa. The Lord's sweetness has two features, Madhurya and Ayudharya. When sweetness is predominant, Lord Krishna is manifest. When mercy is predominant, Lord Chaitanya manifests. The spiritual world of Vrindavan is joined to two abodes, the abode of Lord Krishna, the abode of Gaura. The eternally perfect and eternally liberated souls who have sweetness first and mercy second reside in Lord Krishna's abode. They are Lord Krishna's associates. The eternally perfect and eternally liberated souls who have mercy first and sweetness second in Gaura's abode. Mercy first, sweetness second. They are the Gaura's associates. Some souls manifest two forms and reside in both places. Acha, this is also there. Other souls manifest only one form and present in only one abode and not the other. Souls who during the time of sadhana worship only Gaura, at the time of attaining perfection, go to Lord Gaura's abode and serve him there. Souls who during the time of sadhana worship only Krishna, at the time of attaining perfection, who go to Lord Krishna's abode to serve him there. Souls who during the time of sadhana worship both Krishna and Gaura, at the time of attaining perfection, manifest two forms. Now you all decide. You are in Vrindavan. You want to do it VHE or MIHE, something like that. VHE or MIHE. Do bhakti vaibhav both places, you will get two forms. This truth that Lord Gaura and Lord Krishna are simultaneously one and different from each other is very confidential secret. Now, after hearing these teachings about the souls released from Maya's prison, Rajanath, now filled with ecstasy, ecstatic love, fell at the feet of elderly Vaishnava and stayed there for some time, few minutes, weeping and weeping. The saintly Babaji picked up Rajanath and firmly embraced him. A good portion of the night has already passed. Taking leave of Babaji, Rajanath returned home. Traveling on the path, he deeply thought about the soul's final destination. When he returned home and was taking meal, he said to his grandmother, "Grandmother, if you wish to continue seeing me, you should stop all this talk of marriage. And should not allow Vani Madhav to come here." The same Vani Madhav, his uncle. He is my bitter enemy. Tomorrow I'll refuse to talk to him. You also should ignore him. Rajanath's grandmother was intelligent. Thinking about her conversation during the daytime with Vanimadhav and what Vanimadhav had just told her, she decided to stop the marriage. She could see that if too much pressure was placed on him, Rajanath would go to Varanasi or Vrindavan. That she did not wish. She decided, what will be? She's just thinking, what is going to happen? So, we got 4 points, 3 points left over. That is, one is about Achintya Bheda Bheda, and other one is Sadhana and Sadhya. Sadhana and Sadhya, I'm not going to talk much about it, because in Sadhana, in this whole Jaiva Dharma, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains practically the entire Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So you already done Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and he is just explaining the entire 64 items of devotional service, explains the definition of sadhana bhakti, that is pure devotional service, anya vilashita sunyam. Some salient features are only there in this notes which is beginning now today. So we'll spend most of the time in discussing achintya bheda bheda, where we'll something talk about each sampradaya also, the four Vaishnava sampradayas. And established how this Achintya Bheda Bheda is a very interesting philosophy, the topmost philosophy in the conclusion of all the Vedic literatures. So, evening notes is already with you. So, we'll meet at 3:30 sharp and we'll finish by 5:30 that particular notes. Okay, Hare Krishna. So, if you want to discuss and ask some questions, I'm here. Your next class starts when? 1 o'clock, isn't it? You want to leave, you can leave. You want to ask questions, you can ask. Yeah.